This is the Thursday Morning Zine. I am Tom Yoder. The prehistoric masonry towers of Hovenweep National Monument near the Colorado-Utah border have captivated archaeologists and visitors since they were first documented in the early 1900s. Most of the structures at Hovenweep were built by ancestral Puebloan people between AD 1200 and 1300, including square and circular towers built using stone masonry that is as skillful as it is beautiful. Even the cliff dwellings of Mesa Verde rarely exhibit such careful construction and attention to detail, and some of the prehistoric structures built on top of irregular boulders at Hovenweep remain standing after more than 700 years. My guest this morning is Jonathan Till, an archaeologist with Abajo Archaeology in Bluff, Utah. Jonathan will be giving a presentation on recent analysis of pottery from Hovenweep on Tuesday, February 4th at the First United Methodist Church in Cortez at 7 p.m. as part of the Hisatsanim chapter of the Colorado Archaeological Society's ongoing lecture series. Good morning, Jonathan.
Morning, Tom.
Well, talked a little bit in my introduction about the iconic towers that I think most people associate with Hovenweep. Let's talk about the pottery. Tell me about the pottery from Hovenweep.
Sure, the pottery from Hovenweep. Well, basically, let me tell you about the project itself. The project came together. When archaeologist Cheryl Kinnear Ferris out at Hovenweep contacted us to see if we would look at a small sample, very small sample, just a couple hundred sherds from Hovenweep. And it became apparent soon thereafter that there were lots of pottery sherds that needed to be looked at that were in their collections. And analyzed, evaluated, and whatnot. Through a grant with the Canyonlands Natural History Association, we were able to look at many sherds over the course of 2 years. This was a project that took place over 2 years. So last year and this year, with us revisiting Canyonlands Natural History Association to extend that grant money. We ultimately analyzed about 13,000 sherds. Is that right? Yeah, that's 13,000 sherds from their collections. And they probably have about twice that amount. But this is what we could do. And we were also looking at places where pottery collections had been made that were documented relatively accurately for place. So we could say this is where the pottery comes from. Getting back to your earlier question about what does this pottery look like, it's a really good question, and it's a really fun one to ask. We've got that little piece of landscape right there, right along the border of the states, Colorado and Utah. Has a pretty distinctive signature in that we see stuff from the 600s, but darn little from the 700s, 800s, 900s, as opposed to other places in the Four Corners region. And then we start seeing more pottery from that place in the 1000s, a little bit more in the 1100s, and then loads in the 1200s when things are cranking up on Mesa Verde. So Hovenweep, which is probably contemporaneous with a lot of the things, the big sites up on Mesa Verde, has a pottery signature that looks like those really nice late assemblages on the Verde. Bowls that have very elaborate painted designs.
And this is the kind of typical black-on-white pottery that we're used to seeing? Mm-hmm.
So we've got basically two – at that point in time, we have essentially two kinds of basic pottery that are being made within the region, the whole Mesa Verde region. And that is, you've got whitewares, the painted stuff, and then you've got cooking pottery, the corrugated stuff, that gray ware that looks so crumply. So those are the two kinds of pottery types. We also think of mugs when we think of that chunk of time in the 1200s that we're talking about here. So Mesa Verde black and white mugs are a really wonderful signature of the 1200s pottery.
My favorite.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you're actually doing. So you've got all these pottery sherds, and when you talk about pottery analysis, what does that mean?
Okay, good. pottery analysis. Well, we had several different kinds of analyses going on. At a very basic level, we analyzed everything that we were looking at, those 12,000 some sherds, that let us know something about pottery type. Is it Mesa Verde black and white? Is it Mancus black and white? Types, pottery types, document or record apparent changes in design, either painted or in more shape through time. So defining things by type, we also looked at form. Is it a bowl? Is it a jar? And then we also looked at paint type. Do we have different? Do we have a mineral paint? Do we have an organic paint? Those kinds of things change through time and space, so that's something that we want to look at. My colleagues at Abajo Archaeology and I, which included Mark Bond and Tamara DeRosiers both years, and Ben Bellarado during the first year, we looked at we did this basic typological analysis that let us document these very basic characteristics of pottery. And these characteristics are things that other archaeologists in the region think about. And we did it in such a way that I think our methods are very comparable with a lot of other researchers in the area. So our data set really, I hope, will fit into a much larger regional data set. It's not just a standalone thing. It's something that everybody can use, I hope.
What kinds of things do we learn when we look at pottery about the inhabitants of a particular site?
Great. So I talked to you about our basic typological analysis. This year, we also did some special analyses. We did rimark analysis. That is, we looked at how especially bowls varied in size. And you can do that by looking at how big the arc on the rim of a sherd is for a bowl.
Even if it's
just a little piece, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you got a tiny piece, it's still got an arc that represents the whole.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look at it and go, and you can move it over a little grid and say, okay, well, this thing has a radius of 5 inches or 5 centimeters, whatever. And this one has a radius that's much larger, say 15 or 16. And that lets us know about bowl sizes. We also look at temper, stuff that goes into the sherd that helps it keep hold together as it's being fired. Those temper recipes vary across the region. So those special analyses let us dial into perhaps how folks are making pottery and where they're making that pottery. That's looking at the temper, and then when we look at the rim arc, we can start saying, well, how many people can one bowl of food feed? Do we have little bowls where we're feeding individuals, or do we have big bowls that are basically big party bowls? It's like the big bowl you get out for Halloween, you know. That's the thing that has a lot of stuff that goes into it, and you ladle out the goodies and whatnot to kids. Same thing with your mashed potato bowl, you know, and Thanksgiving, you know, your big honking bowl made for feeding a lot of people.
Sure. So it's really the difference between like a cereal bowl and then this big sort of platter kind of thing that you'd use for a bigger gathering of people.
Right, right. And so basically what that kind of thing can let us trace or discuss is the possibility that we have different social atmospheres or social environments, rather, at different points in time throughout Puebloan history here, where you had folks who, in certain times you had these social regimes where you knew people were coming together a lot more, perhaps with more frequency than other points in time where you didn't have that big social group cohesion, at least as it's represented by the pottery assemblage. So we can tease out all kinds of things by looking at these very, you know, otherwise mundane bits of material culture.
You're tuned in to the Thursday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning I'm talking with Jonathan Till. He's an archaeologist with Bajo Archaeology in Bluff. And we're talking about Hovenweep pottery, pottery from the Hovenweep National Monument site. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back here on the Thursday Morning Zine. I'm Tom Yoder. My guest this morning is Jonathan Till. He's an archaeologist who's been doing some research on pottery from the Hovenweep site near the Colorado-Utah border. Jonathan, let's talk now a little bit about how the Hovenweep pottery assemblage fits into the bigger picture, at least in the Four Corners area.
Sure. You know, I'd mentioned earlier that I was looking for making a data set that others could use that would be useful to other organizations or researchers. And one of the questions that we specifically had was, how does the Hovenweep pottery assemblage look like or compare with other things that have been documented in the area, such as Sand Canyon Pueblo or Goodman Point Pueblo, where Crow Canyon Archaeological Center has been working? Because those things were really important points of, they were important social centers of gravity in the 1200s. Does Hovenweep act the same way? You know, it's got all those towers. It's got impressive architecture. There's at least one D-shaped structure out there, one of these big kind of, like I said, C-shaped things that you see in other large sites out here. Does Hovenweep look like Sand Canyon? And my take on it right off the bat is that yes, but with some qualifications, and it might have a lot to do with how our sample was constructed. So I'll take some of the blame for that, but it's also just the fact that, you know, this is a pottery analysis project. So we're kind of, as analysts, we're coming at this, without certain kinds of knowledge. We have the pottery and very little else, in front of us. So we try to milk as much as we can out of that data, but knowing that we're still kind of working with only a little bit of the information that we really need to do all this stuff. Nonetheless, we did do a little bit of work with thanks to Cheryl Kinnear Ferris out at Hovenweep. We're able to think about constructing that sample, and it does look like that during the 1200s. The people at Hovenweep were participating in the same kind of social events where you had people coming together in large groups, perhaps for during large feasting events. So lots of people perhaps coming together for large feasting events, or people coming together in larger groups as larger food consumption groups within families. Mm. So it might be the thing, it might be the deal where, you know, it's a full-on church social, or it might be the deal that you're feeding everybody that's around your table in your household.
Like Thanksgiving dinner.
Kind of like that, yeah. Okay. Regardless, the pattern out at Hovenweep does kind of match up to the pattern that we see in at Sand Canyon Pueblo, at Goodman Point Pueblo. We see that in the whiteware bowls weekly, but we certainly see it, and this is kind of cool, very well represented in the cooking jars. So during the 1200s, we know that folks over in Sand Canyon, say, were cooking large batches of food in these oversized jars, relatively oversized jars, at least compared to what had existed before. We certainly see that quite strongly out at Hovenweep. So in terms of pottery, we can say, yeah, these guys are doing the same kind of thing that we see over here in southwestern Colorado. So,
as you go forward, is there a certain kind of research that you would particularly like to see to flesh out some of this analysis that you're doing with pottery? Is there anything else that would really complement that?
Oh, yeah. I do think that there is a lot of stuff here for folks to chew on. So we've got, you know, a nice baseline of information with the data that we've put together. I think that graduate students or other students in archaeology can pick up where we've left off and construct better samples, perhaps, or just bigger samples, because that might be what we need is just bigger samples than what we were able to put together. So, one, folks can check us on how we did our analysis. There are some other things that we did, some other analyses that we did, temper analysis that we did, that really kind of showed how Hovenweep stood out and in remarkable contrast to other places, and in particular, looking at the temper. Over in Hovenweep, it's got a very distinctive temper, in a lot, especially the cooking pottery. So over there in Hovenweep, we see lots of multilithic sand, lots of little sand particles that have different colors. You know, they're different materials, chert, quartzite, quartz, probably other things that I don't know anything. I'm not a mineralogist. But it looks like that conglomerate sandstone down out there that's melted, you know, and folks are picking that up and using it. And that stands in a remarkable contrast to not too far away, say over in Sand Canyon area or Goodman Point area, where people are crushing up rock from igneous sources, probably from the Sleeping Ute Mountain. Mm-hmm. Over in southern Utah, again, it's in remarkable contrast to the stuff over in, say, in the Blanding area, where, again, you have igneous rock, albeit slightly different probably from what you see in the Sleeping Ute. So there are some ways that Hovenweep seems to be standing out. I'd like people to keep running with that, checking us on that, and also thinking about that particular temper type as it relates to Hovenweep and seeing if it occurs in other places. Do we see people trading this stuff across the region?
You'll be giving a presentation next week on Tuesday, February 4th, as part of the Hisatsunim chapter of the Colorado Archaeological Society's ongoing lecture series. What can folks expect from that presentation from you, Jonathan?
Oh, man. a good show. Good. It'll be fun. I've got a PowerPoint presentation I'll throw together, and lots of little anecdotal stuff. I do love giving presentations and to the interested public, and this is something I'm very passionate about. I love my work in archaeology, and I think that kind of shows in the presentations too.
All right. Well, Jonathan, thanks so much for coming in and talking this morning. You got anything else to close with?
Just again, a real quick thanks to Canyonlands Natural History Association, the National Park Service, the Edge of the Cedars Museum, where we conducted the research, and the Anasazi Heritage Center, who loaned the Edge of the Cedars Museum these materials. So, and also, I'd like to give a shout out to the folks at Crow Canyon and to Dr. Scott Ortman over at CU Boulder. Now, I'm working. I'm standing on the backs of a lot of folks here with this. So, thanks to all those people, and I'm sure there are other folks like Winston Hurst over in Blanding too, and other people that I need to thank. But thanks to all those people and organizations that have made this happen.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming in this morning, Jonathan. That's Jonathan Till. He's an archaeologist. He'll be giving a presentation on recent analysis of pottery from Hovenweep on Tuesday, February 4th at the First United Methodist Church in Cortez at 7 p.m. as part of the Hisatsunim chapter of the Colorado Archaeological Society's ongoing lecture series. So go check that out. You have been listening to the Thursday Morning Zine. Today's program was produced by myself, Tom Yoder, and our theme music was written and performed by Brett Peja.